It's time to get educated, informed, and inspired. This is Saturday Morning Live on KGMI with your host, Chris Halterman.
Saturday Morning Live is sponsored by Asset Advisors LLC, Accurate Lock and Security, and Valley Plumbing and Electric.
Good morning. It's Saturday Morning Live. We're live. We're about liberty, focused on you, and yes, not all politics is just happening in Washington, D.C. It is we're getting into the crunch time of the political season here in Whatcom County as well. And because of that, I have for the next 5 weeks set up candidate interviews. Today we are starting with our Washington State Senator Doug Erickson from the 42nd District, and we're going to talk to him. He is the incumbent. I'm going to welcome him. And how long have you been a state senator?
Good morning. Great to be on the show this morning, Chris. Eight years. So I'm running for my third term in the state Senate.
Third term. Okay. And you were a representative for?
For 12 years.
For 12 years. Okay. So that is a, you know, I got to commend you because it is not easy to do that and get reelected. Yeah, sometimes it's name recognition, but you have to be doing something for your district in order for people to continue to vote for you.
Well, no, that's been an honor serving the people of Whatcom County. It's a great job, great people, and we've been incredibly successful. I mean, particularly over the past 8 years, when I spent 5 years as the chairman of the Senate Energy and Environment Committee, we were incredibly successful on protecting jobs at Cherry Point, getting Alcoa from curtailment up to 700 employees, the largest employer at Cherry Point now, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
A great success story for Whatcom County, working with our farmers to keep them operating. Up and down the line, new construction projects, working on K-12 education, higher ed. It's a great job. And Whatcom County, over the past 8 years in particular, we've been doing really well at the state legislative level and here locally.
And it's such a diverse area. You know, you don't have, you know, just it's not like all urban or all rural. So you're dealing with a number of different issues in there.
Oh, yeah. It's a microcosm of the state. You know, you have Bellingham with the university, which can be a bit more liberal, as we all know, than the rest of the county. But then you get out to rural Whatcom County with our agricultural land base and our timber-based economy and our rural lifestyle, and it really balances out.
Yep.
And one of the things I'm really most proud of in this election is all six of our rural mayors have endorsed my campaign this year. So working with them over the past 8 years has been great, and they realize the great relationship we have, and they want to keep it going.
Okay, Doug, I've just got it's a pretty open-ended type conversation here, so I want to hear from you, as the listeners can hear from you, what do you believe are the top issues for a person who representing the 42nd district?
Well, I think the issues around the state can be the same. People care about good education for their kids, for their family, having the opportunity for education, for advancement. They want to have good job opportunities. They want to have the ability to go out and get a good family wage job so they can take care of their family.
Is the economy stupid?
That definitely helps, you know, when you're putting good jobs out there. We're doing really well in Whatcom County on that right now. There are some cloud storms on the horizon we'll talk about in a couple minutes.
Uh-huh.
But the third big issue also is our quality of life. We live in Whatcom County for a reason. You know, we enjoy, many of us, our rural lifestyle. We want to have a well. We want to have a septic system. We want to be able to water our garden in the summertime and raise our plants.
Yes.
We want to go to Mount Baker and ski. We want to be able to kayak in the San Juans. We want to be able to bicycle. We want to take advantage of the quality of life things, have good parks, good sports facilities, have good activities in the arts, like at the Mount Baker Theater. It's all part of the quality of life issue.
But that all requires money to do also, which means we also have to have a vibrant business economy as well.
Exactly. That's why you go through the three things. Great education gives people opportunities. That strong job environment with great employers and great manufacturing jobs and great ag leads to the ability to have the quality of life. You know, P66, you know, my opponent is adamantly opposed to Cherry Point Industries. She wants them to go away.
Mm-hmm. Which is amazing considering the industry that she's worked for.
Well, it is kind of.
Go ahead.
Yeah. But what's interesting about it, if you look at what those companies do, number one, they create tens of thousands of family wage jobs in Whatcom County.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, they invest back in that quality of life. If you take your kids out to play soccer, you know, at Northwest, it's now P66 Park because P66 came in with one of the single largest private sector donations ever in Whatcom County to help build that soccer park for our kids and for the adults that use it. So those kinds of things build our quality of life, and that's really what it's all about.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm glad to hear where your top issues are because that's the 42nd district. I don't get to vote for you. I'm in the 40th district, so it's important that they know what's going on.
At least you're honest about it.
Yes. Your goals. What are your personal goals if reelected?
Well, if I get reelected, we're going to go down to Olympia. We're going to continue working to create the job environment that we want in Whatcom County. We're going to also make sure that we protect taxpayers. So the biggest goal I have, I would love to see the legislature finally put into place a two-thirds requirement to raise taxes so that legislators, a two-thirds vote of the legislature.
And fees?
And fees. Well, it all depends on how you define it, but many people now try to call a tax a fee.
I know. That's why I say you almost have to you have to use every synonym for tax.
Yeah, we have a good definition. If it brings more money into the general fund or into the state coffers, it's a tax that would require a two-thirds vote. That would make legislators work together, and then raising taxes becomes the last resort, not the first option, because I believe that the worst thing the government does is reach into your back pocket, take your money, reach into your purse, take your money, and then use it for something else. That's what should be very, very difficult for the government to do.
Yeah, and I have to say that with the what's happened in the last late August, early September here with all of the school renegotiation, basically the school districts, I'm concerned about whether or not that local levy is going to go down.
Yeah, big issue. So part of the whole education fix after the McCleary decision, and by the way, I did not agree with the Supreme Court's ruling on the McCleary decision. They overstepped. They should take off their robes and run for the legislature if they want to write budgets. But what we did, we ended up with what's called the levy swap.
Right.
And when the levy swap is fully implemented, the people of Whatcom County will all see a property tax reduction compared to what they were paying in 2017.
If they do what they promised, right?
If you send me back to Olympia and the Republicans control the state Senate, I can guarantee you 100% that you will not that property tax reduction will go into place, guaranteed. Mm-hmm. If the Democrats increase their majorities in the Senate and the House, one of their number one goals is to go back and repeal that property tax decrease you're supposed to get next year. That's why the Democrats insist on delaying it. Mm-hmm. I actually ran a bill last year for $1 billion of additional property tax relief because our coffers have been overflowing with tax funds.
Right.
The Democrats insisted tax increase in 2018, tax decrease in 2019. I ran the bill for $1 billion. It failed 25-24, all Republicans voting yes, all Democrats voting no except for Tim Sheldon. Shocking. My opponent, on the other hand, has voted to raise property taxes six times in the last 5 years.
I will say the most striking interchange that I had with your opponent was when she was doing a presentation to a business club talking about retrofitting your lighting and how you were going to save money and blah, 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 and do all this stuff. And after she was done doing their presentation, I raised my hand and I said, well, yes, we go in and we spend all this money to retrofit everything, and then you raise your rates, and so we end up not saving any money at all. And her comment was, no lie. Well, we have to make money too. And I'm like, okay, so stop telling us about how you're going to save us all this money.
Yeah, it's been interesting. That might be one of the reasons. You know, Chris, I've offered my opponent the chance for six public debates, you know, open and free to everybody to come to them.
Have there been any?
There haven't been any, and there really aren't any scheduled. We have candidates' forums, and I noticed there's one out at Meridian coming up.
Okay.
But a forum is different. We have like 12 people sitting on a stage.
Right.
And you have 30-second answers or one-minute answers.
Right.
And you can hide in that environment. And my opponent is hiding because she doesn't want people to know her views on issues like tax increases, property rights, the Hearst decision, Cherry Point jobs and industries. She doesn't want anybody to know her radical views because I have never – this is not a Pete Kremen-style Democrat.
No.
I've never run against a person this liberal, this far left. This person makes Bernie Sanders look like a moderate.
Well, twice now her campaign managers, when she's been running, have immediately responded when I put out the forums and said, yeah, we're in and da-da-da. And then I – just shortly after, all of a sudden, I'll get an email. Oh, you know, she's not available. And I said, there's five Saturdays to choose from at 8 a.m. in the morning, and she's not available for one of them. So
yeah, like I say, it's a technique they're using, you know, and they're going to hide behind a lot of negative mail, negative television pieces, which are coming out. And that's a technique. But I think it's important for the people of Whatcom County to hear directly from the candidates. That's why I actually enjoy campaigns. Because I love going out and talking about what the people of Whatcom County care about and listening to them. And if they decide they want higher taxes and they want to get rid of Cherry Point Industries and they want our agriculture industry to move to foreign countries, well, I'm not the person. But if they want to save the jobs, they want lower taxes, they want to invest in our quality of life, then I think they're going to be voting for Doug Erickson.
What is probably your top concern for the area? I mean, I realize that we've talked a lot generically about it, but I mean, my concern is like I said, with not lowering, you know, taking that levee lift down, but it's also whether or not we're going to get the water issue resolved completely. I mean, I realize we got kind of a Hearst fix in there, but there's a deadline. And if we don't come to, you know, some type of a fruitful understanding, that's going to, again, negatively affect a lot of properties out there. And a number of those properties, a great percentage of them, are in the 42nd District.
Without a doubt, our rural lifestyle is under attack. Mm-hmm. And my opponent is leading the charge, unfortunately, from her Bellingham City Council position. I want to give a big shout out to Representative Vincent Baez and Representative Luann Van Werven, who fought beautifully in the House to get the Hearst fix so residential well water can be protected. Mm-hmm. And I also want to say Mike Pedum, who is running for the county council, should get everybody's support because Pedum gets it and he understands. So we did the fix in Olympia, but we still leave room for local control.
Right.
And you need to get a hold of Jack Louse. You got to get a hold of your county council members. You got to go out and vote for Mike Pedum to get him on the council because that's the only way you'll get a real fix to this water issue. Because right now I know that they are scheming to put a meter on your well and tax your residential well water until you can't water your vegetables.
And force you to sign up. A friend of mine, they have property, and they're in this they've got enough water under their land for 40 homes. They only want enough for four. They're trying to force them to sign up at basically almost $60,000 per hookup for four homes.
Yep.
That is unconscionable.
It's absolutely off the charts. So that's why we have to get reasonable people elected to local offices also who understand. You know, my opponent likes to talk about affordable housing. She actually introduced a piece of legislation, the Bellingham City Council, that would have banned fossil fuels. It's 100% renewable, it's called, in Bellingham by 2035. So that means no natural gas in your home.
Right.
That means every home has to convert.
Right.
That adds thousands and thousands, I mean $35,000 right there. The regulations. So the biggest threats, I think, to our economy, which is incredibly important to protecting our quality of life, are simple. It doesn't change much in politics, Chris. It's overtaxation and it's overregulation.
Well, she also led the charge for a couple of other things. One was for that that local paid time off, family leave, sick leave here. She did that one. And the other thing that I found, I mean, it was just a bald-faced lie. She said that the trend was that that they don't want a single-family home anymore, that everybody wants to live in this multifamily home environment. It's like, really? What statistic did you pull that out of?
Yep, it's out of some of their central planning. Rack them and stack them. Stack them high in downtown Bellingham, you know, and put them in a cold water flat. People don't want that. But Chris,
some people do, but not 75% of the population does not.
Well, when I'm going to college, I don't mind it.
Yeah, right.
But what's interesting, what you really see coming through in Pinky Vargas is my opponent. What you see coming through in her agenda is downtown Seattle. Mm-hmm. And she is supported by the downtown super liberal establishment. If you look at the issues that she runs, 100% renewable, for example, which, hey, that sounds nice. It's all renewable. Until you look at how it actually impacts your household budget and say this is not – even her employer, Puget Sound Energy, has said this is not practicable and cannot be implemented.
Okay. Very quickly, we're going to go through four things here.
Yep.
I want a yes or no on these initiatives that are the I-1631 carbon tax.
It's not a carbon tax. It's a tax on energy. It's a job killer, and we have to defeat that thing in Whatcom County.
Initiative 1634 to prohibit the food tax.
This is great. We do not want sales tax on groceries.
Initiative 1639, the anti-gun rights tax.
That's a big no. It'll make a lot of law-abiding citizens into criminals.
Although they call it safe schools, right? It's supposed to be all about safety. Then Initiative 940, the police training and criminal liability.
This is one that's not
huge.
Getting a bunch of attention. Yeah, exactly.
Huge.
And this one is a big no. We need to stand up for our local law enforcement officers. They defend us, and we need to have their back.
Okay. And last words?
Last words. This is an incredibly important election for Whatcom County. People need to get out and vote. If you look at the issues, if we just went through these initiatives right now, my opponent would be the opposite of all of those. My opponent wants higher taxes and more regulations. I want lower taxes, less regulations, a better business climate so we can invest in our quality of life. Make sure you get out and vote. And if you're traveling the county today at 9:30, I will be out at Everson for a community meeting at the City Hall. 9:30 this morning, Everson at the City Hall. Come on out and have some coffee and cookies, and we'll talk about the Whatcom County and the election.
All right. Thank you, and good luck on your candidacy and campaign. And this is Saturday Morning Live. We'll be right back.
Our mission at Barron Heating and Air Conditioning is to improve lives. Every day, we live out our mission by providing exceptional heating, cooling, air quality, and energy solutions centered around a customer-first experience. Hi, I'm Brad Barron, engineer, and fourth-generation Baron at Baron Heating. Our team is dedicated to finding the most effective ways to increase energy efficiency, optimize comfort, and improve indoor air quality. Working with in-house engineers and scientists, Baron certified technicians utilize the latest technology to solve everyday problems. Baron Heating looks beyond the box in your crawl space, garage, and attic to identify real home performance challenges that homeowners face. Call Baron today. You'll see and experience why we do what we do. Let us show you affordable ways we can make your home more comfortable, healthy, and energy efficient. Baron Heating and Air Conditioning, your Pacific Northwest home and building performance experts since 1972. Our mission, improving lives.
Do you use a fob or a remote to lock your car? Well, Accurate Lock and Security is one of the few companies offering key fob replacement. It's the best way to ensure you'll never be locked out of your car. Just stop by Accurate Lock and Security on Prospect Street across from the Wattka Museum or visit them online at accuratelock.net. Accurate Lock and Security, the professional security team serving Whatcom, Skagit, and Island counties with over 80 years and four generations in the same location.
Fall is right around the corner, and it's important to make sure your furnace is in top working order. Northwest Propane has a couple of pointers to help you save money. Replace the air filter as needed, and have your furnace professionally cleaned early in the season. Northwest Propane has pay plan options and automatic propane delivery services. Rest easy, knowing you'll never have to check the propane level again. Northwest Propane, the number one choice for Whatcom, Skagit, Island, and Snohomish counties since 1947. Online at nwpropane.net.
The 9th Annual Linden Music Festival is October 10th through the 13th. Celebrate the musical heritage of Linden with the artists who've enriched their community with music. Don't miss featured performances from Linden grads who've made the scene in Nashville. Friday night, Rochelle Lanay takes the stage.
Come on, let's party till the cows come home.
Bringing her energetic, danceable new country music and getting you off your feet and onto the dance floor. Friday night of the festival includes the sounds of Heather Cole and Keenan Date. Put on your dancing shoes and get ready to party till the cows come home. Don't miss Saturday night as fan favorite Baby Cakes gets fun and funky at the Bellingham Steakhouse with their crowd-pleasing infectious grooves. Tickets are at Brown Paper Tickets or Linden Chamber of Commerce. The city of Linden will be alive with the sound of incredible local music with free events around town, ranging from a cappella to jazz to boogie-woogie and more. The Linden Music Festival, October 10th through the 13th.
The opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KGMI News Talk 790 or the Cascade Radio Group.
Welcome back. It's Saturday Morning Live. We're about life. We're about liberty. We're especially about you, the forgotten man and woman out there, because these initiatives that we put forth, and that's what we're doing. I've got two initiatives that I'm focusing on. I went out and I asked for some people to come in and do some short little interviews with me because I knew I was going to be doing all these candidate interviews. There's so many of them. I wanted an opportunity to bring more information to you, the voters, about these initiatives. I'll just be right up front. I'm a no on both of these. And so I want you to have as much information as possible about what these initiatives, if they pass, how they will change your lives and affect your lives. So we're going to start out with Initiative 1639. That is the gun initiative. It's being proposed to you as a safe school initiative, but it is in reality an infringement upon your U.S. Second Amendment rights, your gun rights laws, according to the Washington State Constitution. And Joe Wilson has just come in to help talk about this. So they're going to be short clips. And I'm going to let Joe basically give you the information you need to make a qualified vote. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning.
If you could just get that a little higher and closer to you because you're a tall guy and that thing's down there for shorter people. So just lift that top piece up there, Joe. There we go. So let's talk about Initiative 1639. It's being said that it criminalizes gun owners and makes them a felon if you do not lock up your firearms in a specific way in your own home. How does that do that?
Well, it creates a new crime of community endangerment. Under 1639, if a prohibited person gains access to any firearm, steals it, and then fires it or displays it in public or uses it in a crime, the owner of the firearm from which it was stolen would be guilty of the crime of community endangerment. That's a Class C felony, and it could be up to a year in jail.
Well, it also requires you to store it or lock it away within your home. Is that not true?
Well, number one, 1639 is not written very well. So there's a lot of things that is in the legislation, but it's not completely defined. So as far as, you know, for example, somebody breaks into your car and steals a gun that you have safely stored there, mm-hmm. It's not clear whether you would be guilty of this new crime or not. So it leaves a lot to the prerogative of the prosecuting attorney and how zealous he is and anti-gun he is for who he charges with those crimes.
Well, let's say I'm taking a look at this from the perspective of inside of my house, also
right.
My home. If I come into my home and I've got a concealed carry, mm-hmm. and it's in the concealed carry holder, or if it's in a purse or a briefcase or whatever, I'm okay. But if inside my home, now all of a sudden it's supposed to be locked up.
Yes.
How is that making me a safer person?
Well, it's not. I mean, we had a recent situation back in March where a 20-year-old person defended their home with a semi-automatic weapon. He would not be allowed to carry that under this law, and he would not be able to defend himself. So as far as the storage requirements, it's not really clear exactly what would be required. But the way I read the law myself, if you wanted to make sure you were not guilty of committing a felony, you would have to have that gun locked up all the time if it wasn't on your person.
So basically, the honest gun owner, if this passes, will then almost automatically become a felon, because most people, I'm sorry, they're not going to follow that law. They're not going to lock up their protection, especially when they're asleep at night.
Well, it's, you know, you have under the state constitution the right to defend yourself, and it shall not be impaired.
Mm-hmm.
But yet this initiative would make law-abiding citizens criminals. If you are robbed by a criminal, then you become the criminal. This 1639 has everything. It makes thousands and thousands of legal gun owners felons. It confiscates guns. It makes you it's registration for guns. It's the gun control, the people who are for taking away all guns' dreams.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you for weighing in on this today. We're going to have some more interviews to give everybody a better idea of what 1639 really does if approved. This is Saturday Morning Live. We'll be right back.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson for Asset Advisors. The new tax law is having an impact. For example, are you taking advantage of the charitable donation from your required minimum distributions? Dick and Camille are ready to help you utilize the new law to plan your future. Recent market volatility makes your investment decisions even more important, especially if you're retired or getting ready for retirement. At times like this, some of our irreplaceable capital strategies may be the right investment for you. Managing risk is always important. Are you prepared? Call Dick and Camille today at 733-1200 or go to their website, wealthwakeup.com, and listen to them on Wealth Wake Up every Saturday morning at 11 and Sunday mornings at 9 on KGMI.
This advertisement is for general information only and is not intended to provide specific advice and endorsement or recommendations on any individual. No strategy assures success or protects against loss. To determine what is appropriate for you, consult a qualified professional. Securities offered through Cetera Advisor Networks, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through CWM, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Cetera Advisor Networks, LLC is under separate ownership from any other named entity.
KGMI News Update.
KGMI News Time, 8:32. 46 degrees in Bellingham, heading for a high of 59 today. Barring something unforeseen, the Senate's expected to confirm Brett Kavanaugh as an Associate Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court later today. Bob Cusack, editor-in-chief of The Hill, expects the partisan battle to fill the court seat will spur both Republicans and Democrats to go to the polls in November for the midterm elections.
Even though a lot of people are going to show up, I think the average voter is, why does this have to be so contentious? The independent voter. But the base, they know they were engaged, and that's why they're going to be engaged in a month.
The National Park Service is saying effective immediately, use of an area previously closed after the Crescent Mountain fire is now open in the North Cascades Park Service complex for camping, cross-country zones, and trails. The Crescent Mountain fire started west of Twisp on July 29th. Outside of the park complex, some trail areas may still be closed. KGMI News Time 8:33. Weather and sports is next.
We now return to another episode of As the Soil Turns, brought to you by Kent's Garden and Nursery.
Laurel, have you seen Camellia lately? She looks positively flourishing.
Oh, Heather, I know. She's practically blooming. The neighbor's entire yard looks magnificent.
She didn't bloom at all last year, you know. Such a tragedy for a plant.
But this year, I think she's had her soil amended.
Laurel! Well, that Camellia is such a lucky plant. If only we could uproot ourselves and plunge into that rich soil over in Camellia's yard. Oh, whoa.
Whoa, indeed. We're incredible plants. But we can only go so far on our own. We need compost and feeding and fertilizer.
Keep your plants vibrant, healthy, and happy all winter long with organic compost and soil amendments from Kent's Garden and Nursery. And right now, all organic fertilizers are 25% off. It's not too late to add more color to your landscape with perennials and grasses at 25% off now through the 13th. You can find it all at the largest nursery in town, Kent's Garden and Nursery on Northwest in Bellingham.
KGMI Sports.
On the grid, the number 10 Washington Huskies are at the Rose Bowl today to take on the 0-4 UCLA Bruins. 4-1 Washington State travels to Corvallis for the 1-4 Oregon State Beavers today. 6 p.m. kickoff on that one. Week 6, high school football scores from last night for our area. Seahome shuts out Cedar Crest 33-0. It was Meridian over Linden Christian 35-20. Bellingham shuts out Anacortes 41-0. Squalicum doubled Ferndale 28-14. Mount Baker 55, Nooksack Valley 21. Another shutout, Montlake Terrace over Blaine 40-0 last night. Cedro Woolley beat Bainbridge Island 54-42. And Archbishop Murphy squeaks by Lakewood 36-35 last night. A Thursday night score, in case you missed it, Lummi topped Darrington 62-22. On the ice, the Bellingham Blazers kicked off their 2018-2019 season last night at Sportsplex. Bellingham scored an 8-4 victory with goals from TJ Prexler. He had a hat trick. Robbie Eckleberger had two. Tommy Steven had one. Kevin Kabenek had one. And Jamal Ekit had one. The Blazers also tallied 11 assists on the night across 9 different players. Good team effort. Blazers goalie Coulter Pollock finished with 40 saves as well. The Vancouver Canucks are in the Saddle Dome in Calgary today to take on the Flames. That's Game 2 of Hockey Night in Canada on CBC, 7 o'clock if you want to watch it. The Canucks beat Calgary at home in the regular season opener Wednesday, 5-2. On the court, the Portland Trail Blazers were in Phoenix for the Suns last night. Portland topped them 115-93. Yusuf Nurkic had 16 points, 9 rebounds in a battle with number 1 overall pick DeAndre Ayton, who led Phoenix with 19 points and 14 rebounds in 23 minutes of play. Western Viking athletes are busy today. Volleyball's at Western Oregon. Women's soccer's at CWU with the men at Northwest Nazarene. It's Division II conference crossover and Emerald City meet day for the Harriers. And the softball squad at Western takes on SFU at the Husky Fall Classic at UW today. KGMI dependable forecast, sunny and 59 today, winds northwest 5-10 on the water, partly cloudy, 45 overnight, Sunday and Monday showers with highs in the mid-50s. Mike Davis, KGMI News.
Saturday Morning Live, Chris Halterman, KGMI.
Welcome back. It's Saturday Morning Live. We're live, we're about liberty, and we're focused on you. It's candidate season. All the action isn't just happening in D.C. It's right here. Local is what is most important to our lives every day. So with that, my next candidate interview is going to be with, he is running against which is it? Susan DelBene, Jeffrey Beeler. Jeffrey, is that who your candidate that you're running against?
That is who I'm running against. Exactly. Yes.
Okay. So it's for U.S. Congress District 1, Jeffrey Beeler. I'm going to kind of mix things up a little bit from my last interview. So because there's a couple things I want to for sure get to, but we have a hard out on this segment. So I want to start on asking you about yes or no on these four initiatives that the voters will be doing this year. Initiative 1631, the carbon tax. What's your opinion, yes or no?
No. Simply, and it just doesn't make a lot of sense for the carbon tax. They're talking about trying to clean up things, but like I keep hearing is, the money that they're going to be collecting with this tax, there's nothing that's tagged to actually producing less carbon emissions. So when it comes to this carbon tax, it's just going to be taking a lot of money out of people's pockets and spent where? We don't know. So
right.
There's no way I'm going to, in fact, it goes back to the gas tax that we had for the state. I didn't mind paying for a gas tax when it was a nickel and you had exactly the projects that it went to.
Right.
And these are how they're going to improve the roads. There's nothing like this initiative. It just doesn't make sense.
Okay. Initiative 1634, the prohibit food tax.
Totally, totally for this tax, or for this initiative. Not for the tax. It doesn't make sense to tax basic food they're talking about how expensive it is to live in the state, and then they want to put tax on food, which is what everybody needs to have. You don't have to buy, you know, a bicycle. You don't have to buy a basketball. You don't have to buy a car. But you have to buy food in order to live.
Yeah, they'll just start. So they'll just start adding taxes onto the foods they don't want you to eat anymore. You know, and just really, you know, it's like a sin tax.
Like soda tax. You know, you go down into Seattle now, and
beef.
Costco doesn't even carry soda in their stores anymore because the tax is just too high.
Right. Initiative 1639, the school safety or anti-gun rights tax.
Again, you talked about it with Senator Erickson there, and that is, how can we be able to live in our own home and have the ability to, you know, keep ourselves safe if we're always having to lock up our weapons? Most responsible gun owners already take care of what they're supposed to do with their weapons. This is just, again, an overreach of the state. Of trying to, you know, define what it is when it comes to gun control. Every step towards that is just another step towards, you know, getting the weapons out of people's hands, which that's a Second Amendment thing. I'm all about Second Amendment, so I'm very supportive of the Second Amendment. This has to go down.
Okay. And lastly, Initiative 940, the police training and criminal liability.
Yeah, 940 is an interesting thing. You've heard how the police have come out and said, no, we don't want this. There was a lot that went on down to the state legislature about, you know, trying to find a compromise. And then ultimately, what did they do? They came back with something that isn't even what it was supposed to be. And
yes or a no on this one for you?
That is a no.
Okay. I mean, because my personal opinion, just my opinion, a lot of frivolous lawsuits that are going to start happening if this passes.
Yeah.
And we already are having a difficult time because of the way that the police have been massacred, basically, in the media, getting good people to step up for those jobs.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. So then another one that I would like to ask you, will you work with the across the aisle to get the new USMCA, a.k.a. the NAFTA 2.0, passed?
Absolutely. And you know what? The biggest positive out of all of this is that when the president has gone down into Mexico and has negotiated this trade agreement with them, they have put requirements on Mexico that says, hey, look, we need you to raise wages for your manufacturing workers up. So that way, when Mexican workers are working in those factories, they are working and making a living wage.
Mm-hmm.
Why do we have a lot of illegal immigration coming in?
Yes.
It's because they're after better wages.
Mm-hmm.
So if we require the Mexico to have higher wages, they're no longer going to see the United States as the only avenue to make a living. And so this has many folds of great things going on.
And it might actually put a dent in all of the stranglehold that some of those drug cartels have on their nation, too. So.
Yes, exactly. Well, it's that, and for the American workers, having competitive manufacturing plants, it helps the American workers with their wages.
Mm-hmm.
And getting Canada finally involved with this,
mm-hmm. And
I think,
farmers.
Is the key.
I mean, for ag, this is, you know,
yes.
It's great. It's like,
right.
Yes, we want,
I mean,
we want
the
Mexico
dairy industry.
To have a healthy ag industry. We want Canada to have a healthy ag industry. And we want to have that here locally in our nation and in Whatcom County as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, the dairy farmers, I think, will really, really, really enjoy having this trade agreement because it'll open up new places, new markets for them. And just overall, it's just a great thing. The NAFTA was a great thing for Canada and Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
This is a great trade agreement for all three.
Okay.
So that's why I am so glad that he's out there taking the steps, you know, of changing these trade agreements with all these different countries.
Yes.
Who we've been stepped on for years and years and years.
Mm-hmm.
So very supportive.
So we got about six more minutes here, and I want to basically talk to you about what issues do you see need to be addressed? What are your goals and your concerns if you were to be elected as our U.S. congressperson?
Right. Thank you. My main things that I have been out there voicing concerns about are, first of all, protecting the American workers. With the different trade agreements that are being negotiated, like I talked about, we want to get wages to start rising. Up until this point, the economy has been flourishing. The last 2 years with the policies of the Trump administration, things have been going in the right direction. But the one thing that's kind of lagging in all of this is worker wages. So I think with the, like I said, the trade agreements, with the continuing rise of manufacturing, production, with the ability for these companies now have been able to bring money back in from overseas. They're investing into their companies. They're giving out the bonuses finally that the workers deserve.
Mm-hmm.
So the economy is really the big thing in all of this. All of that revolves around how good the economy is going. So let's now capture the fact that we've got a great economy going.
Mm-hmm.
And now let's use that to help the Social Security and Medicare systems get back into place where they should be, because I'm 49 years old.
You can have a larger work base to help support it.
You got that, and the fact that we have ignored the stealing of money from those two systems.
Mm-hmm.
We need to support it back. We need to get back in place and say, I don't even know if it's going to be around when I'm, you know, time to retire, because it's, you know, supposed to run out of money. This is the time. We've got a great economy. Let's stabilize it. Let's invest in it. Let's strengthen it. And for those people who are on the system now, let's give them the they're discouraged because they're wondering what's going on. Is it going to be there for the next 5, 10, 15 years? Let's make sure it is. Let's make sure it's there for the next 30 or 40 years.
What's the biggest difference between you and your opponent, Del Benny? How, compare and contrast yourself with her.
Compare and contrast. She's been there for 3 terms now. And I think the biggest difference between me and her is she's become the embedded Democrat, just touting all of the Democrat lines, just voting every way that the Democrats vote. She's not thinking for herself anymore. And that's what I'm going out and talking to Republicans and independents and Democrats and saying, hey, look, I'm out there for the district.
Mm-hmm.
You're electing me to represent you in District 1 in Whatcom County, in Skagit County, in Snohomish County, in King County. I'm not there to represent necessarily the Republican Party, although I align mostly with their ideas. So you're going to find that I will tend to vote their direction. But ultimately, it's a decision I make is going to be directly related to how it affects my district.
Mm-hmm.
If that means if a Republican vote comes up and they're trying to make me vote for something that doesn't is not advantageous for my district, I won't vote for it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's the difference between her and I, is right now she doesn't do that any longer. I think a lot of representatives go into Congress with these starry eyes, and I'm one of those. We go out there, we represent the district, and then you get elected again, and then you realize, oh, there's kind of the wheels. We've got to get into the car, you know, got to be in there and work with the Democrats or the Republicans. And by the third time you're elected, you're no longer thinking for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
you're just out there, you know, got to get elected next time. So how do I do it?
Yep, I got to got to fundraise, and that's going to help me get elected. And
exactly.
So, yeah.
Exactly.
So you more when on your in the voters pamphlet, you said that you were a libertarian. So is that your libertarian has been endorsed by the Republican Party?
Well, I lean libertarian. I'm not a libertarian itself.
Okay.
But I do personal freedoms, personal liberties. I think government should be less in our lives. And it goes back to that gun control initiative. They're just, it's the nanny state thing. You need government out of your life.
Mm-hmm.
The more that's in it, the more taxes you're going to pay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the more they're going to restrict what you're doing, what you're saying. And that's not what this, what America was built on. It was built on freedoms. It was built on the ability to do what you want to. I'm a small business owner. To do those things that make you happy. When it comes to liberties, I'm all about having the freedom for going after what it is that you want without the restrictions of government getting in your way.
And how do you believe you're going to be able to work across the aisle and stay to those convictions?
I am of the belief that there are good people in Congress. And I believe there are people who really want this country going in the right direction. But they have been swayed by their party to not vote that way. And so my goal going back to Congress is to go out and find those on both sides of the aisle that have the same desire as I do, which is to make this country better. And I think that's been lost on this. There are little factions in the different parties that are trying to do that. And you're seeing, like, in the Freedom Caucus, they've held firm together because they've had a voice of enough people, enough congressmen, to say, hey, look, we know what you want to accomplish, but it doesn't get to where we want to go.
Okay,
so we're going to hold back on the vote. So that's how you do it. You actually have to reach out, and I just don't see that happening with a lot of these.
Okay, Jeffrey, we're going to wrap this up. You've got about 15 seconds to last words to the voters.
I appreciate it. I'm very thankful for being part of this. I'm looking for the vote for people who want to have a change in this district to send somebody back there with fresh ideas.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Good luck on your campaign. This is Saturday Morning Live. We'll be right back.
Did you know Accurate Lock and Security now offers high security keys for your business with Medico, Abloy, and Keymark? These locks are pick and drill resistant, and copies cannot be made without written permission. To learn more, stop by Accurate Lock and Security on Prospect Street across from the Watkin Museum or online at accuratelock.net. Accurate Lock and Security, the professional security team, serving Whatcom, Skagit, and Island counties with over 80 years and four generations in the same location.
Cascade Connections, connecting people with disabilities to services including home care, residential programs, and employment opportunities. Jake and Katie tell us more. Jake, what's your favorite part of working at Cascade Connections?
I like the diversity in my weekly schedule, and I also love not only room for advancement in the company, but room for advancement personally and in terms of personal growth.
That's wonderful. What about for you, Katie? What's the best part of your job at Cascade Connections?
Well, first and foremost, it's just the individuals that we support. Fantastic group of people, all very different, all have lots of skills and abilities to offer. I learn a lot and I laugh a lot, and I always go home feeling really good about the work I've done that day.
Cascade Connections offers home care, residential programs, employment services, and empowers individuals with disabilities to live, work, and be a part of our community. Cascade Connections is hiring, and they're offering a $500 hiring bonus. For more information, visit their website, cascadeconnections.org.
There's a certain kind of pride that comes with making things. Knowing that at the end of the day, you have produced something that will be used by millions of people around the world. At Alcoa, we feel that pride every day. Our manufacturing facility in Ferndale produces aluminum, one of the most recyclable materials in the world. It is a good time to be part of Alcoa. Alcoa, the element of possibility.
To find out more about Alcoa, visit www.alcoa.com.
As a nurse, I support Pinky Vargas for State Senate because she will work to lower health insurance premiums, and Pinky will work to make health care more affordable and accessible to families.
Planned Parenthood supports Pinky Vargas because Pinky will keep the government out of women's health care decisions. As a woman, she's definitely got my vote.
As a construction worker, I support Pinky Vargas because she'll be a voice for our local economy. Pinky Vargas will lead the effort to invest in our local roads and bridges to create family wage jobs here in Whatcom County.
Hi, I'm Pinky Vargas. I was raised on a farm in a big family, where I learned the values of hard work and building a strong community. I'm running for state senate because I want an economy that works for Whatcom County, not just the special interests. We want our families and communities to thrive. So let's work together on solutions, because I think it's time to put people first.
Paid for by friends of Pinky Vargas, Democrat.
Join Mark Patrick Hypnosis and lose all the weight, 100% money-back guaranteed.
Since August, I can honestly say I have not had one potato chip.
It was life-changing for me.
And I don't think about desserts like I used to.
Bridget, how much have you lost now?
I have lost a total of 83 pounds.
Holy cow.
It's easy, it's fun, very relaxing, and very successful.
And I would just say go for it.
And only $49.99 guaranteed. Allow hypnosis to destroy unwanted cravings, late-day eating binges, boredom eating, stress eating. Also, stop smoking with Mark Patrick Hypnosis. No matter how many times you tried to quit, hypnosis is designed to destroy your desire to smoke without cravings, irritability, weight gain, or your money back. Join the over 500,000 others who have attended and stopped smoking the Mark Patrick way. That's right, Tuesday, October 9th at the Bellingham Holiday Inn and Suites Hotel and Wednesday, October 10th at the Mount Vernon Best Western Plus Skagit Valley Inn and Convention Center. Weight loss seminar, 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. Stop smoking seminar, 8 to 10 p.m. More info at markpatrickseminars.com.
Your property rights defended. Find the Saturday Morning Live archive under the podcast tab at kgmi.com.
Welcome back. It's Saturday Morning Live. We're live. We're about liberty. We are focused on you. And as I said earlier, I'm passionate about a couple of initiatives. Those two initiatives are 1631 and 1639. We talked earlier about 1639. And now I've put out some invitations to people that I believe are well-versed and can help educate the voters on what these initiatives are really about and how they will truly affect their lives. So I reached out to Todd Myers from the Washington Policy Center. Welcome, Todd. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
I appreciate it very much. So, and 1631, the carbon fee that is supposed to be the end-all be-all to reduce carbon emissions around I guess Washington State, because we've just got a bubble around us and we're not affected by anything else on the world or around the globe. So there have been some people who support this initiative that they're pointing out to the past few summers of wildfires as proof that we must support this initiative. Can you respond to their claim on that?
Well, the initiative 1631, it's called a pollution fee on the ballot, but it's actually just a carbon tax. And so what they argue is that by reducing the amount of CO2 in the atmosphere, we will reduce the risk of wildfire. And then they use some of the money to do forest health and thinning and things like that. I think the problem is twofold. One, the reductions in CO2 are going to have no impact. British Columbia has had a carbon tax for about a decade now. And most of the fires that you saw in the last few years where we've had smoke in Washington State have come from British Columbia. So it's done no good for British Columbia to reduce CO2 because their forests are still burning. And the reason they're burning is they're unhealthy. So the environmental community finally has recognized that unhealthy forests are a bad thing. So they do promise to use the money to do some thinning.
I was really I was thrilled to hear that they were finally going to take us serious and go in there and start dealing with all of the fuel that's in there from the brush that's underneath there that's just getting thicker and thicker and thicker, and the dead trees that are in there because nobody's in there thinning things out to make sure that you've got a healthy forest. It's amazing.
It's a nice, at least a tacit acknowledgement that there is a problem with forest health, and that's really the problem, not climate change. The problem is forest health. However, there's a few problems with their approach. The first is that the money that they're going to dedicate is a very small amount of money of the overall tax. Mm-hmm. So it will do, you know, even if they do it right, it will only make a small impact. A lot of the problems we have are on the federal land, but this is not going to do anything for the federal land. So this will do only a small bit for state lands and some other lands. The second thing is that it's pretty clear that they still are not committed to doing this the right way. They still say, well, we want to do thinning, but we only want to do it in this way. And they often talk about things like what's called Forest Stewardship Council certification, which is not a way to create a healthy forest. It does very little harvesting. It's very expensive. And you don't generate the revenue that is necessary to create healthy forests. So I think there's two problems, which is, one, the amount of money to do the work is very small. And two, the type of work that they're really willing to do is not what's necessary.
And, you know, one of the claims that the supporters, they're saying this is why you should support this, is that because it's going, by putting this tax on the fossil fuels, that it's going to create the cleaner air. It's going to promote the development of cleaner energy, as we talked about just previously, forest health and clean water. What are your thoughts on all of that with this tax?
Well, again, there's certainly a lot to be done with regard to salmon habitat, things like that, and they've promised money for that,
mm-hmm.
And forest health. We've already addressed the forest health. They're not going to make an impact on air quality, especially from forest fires, for a very long time. With regard to salmon habitat, there's a lot that we need to do. The problem is that we waste more money than this would generate. I mean, we have problems with Seattle City Light, City of Seattle Transit, and other waste in the state with cost overruns that would be more than enough to do a lot of the things that we want to do in Puget Sound. But rather than cut waste, what we do is we raise taxes. And so I just think it's the wrong priority. They're looking for the wrong
places.
I think
they're just trying to create a slush fund of money for pet projects or what?
It's very clear that they're trying to do that. They actually openly say that. One of the things in the initiative is they created Environmental and Economic Justice Panel, and they specifically say that members of the Environmental and Economic Justice Panel can receive grants approved by that panel.
Oh, really?
So they
get a self-fund.
That they can vote themselves money from this. So, yes, that there's no question that they are looking to use this slush fund for all sorts of things.
Oh, my goodness. You know, sometimes the deeper that you look into things, the more it's just, you just can't hardly believe that. And nobody knows that. Nobody will know that. Nobody will understand that when they vote whether or not to tax themselves for pollution. I mean, what a ridiculous thing. It's like you should be rewarding yourself for doing the things the right way rather than taxing yourself for pollution, if that be the case. You know what? We're going to have to wrap up, and we're going to talk some more at a later date about this. I thank you for calling in, Todd. And this is Saturday Morning Live, signing off.
KGMI Bellingham,
HD2 92.9 KISM,
and 96.5 FM in Bellingham.